This is episode 212 of the Church Venture Northwest podcast. We're continuing Women's Camp 2018, Unfettered from Fear to Freedom with Julie Bernard. This is session two from Saturday morning, Veiled to Beholding, Breaking the Fetter of Distractions.
Amen. It's good to see you guys. Thanks for being here. I have some handouts, and I would love to pass these around, if that's okay. I'm going to have my beautiful assistant, a.k.a. my mother, help me hand these out. I know, isn't she cute? We came together. My name is Jen Tompkins, and I am from Salem. I'm on staff at a church there called Morningstar, the Women's Ministry Director. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that working in women's ministry is a dream job for me. And I have a friend who lives in another state, and she's also in ministry, and she said, "Women are scary." And I said, "They can be, but I think women are the best." And as long as I can remember, even from childhood, I've been a girl's girl. I love female friendships. I think that they are a good and perfect gift from the Father of Lights, as James says. But they can be a little scary. So I wanted to talk about that today and just a little bit more about myself. I am 40, so I'm probably kind of right in the middle of the demographic here that we have at camp. I'm married to my husband for 18 years. He works at the hospital in Salem as a physical therapist. And we have three kids. They are 12, 10, and 7. A boy, girl, boy, and a blonde, a redhead, and an Asian. So we like to say it sounds like the beginning of an inappropriate joke when you see our family, the blonde, the redhead, and the Asian walk into a blueberry patch or something like that. I've had friends that see me across the parking lot and she'll say, "I knew it was you because you're the only one in town who has the blonde, the redhead, and the Asian." So they are my kiddos. They are my blessing. They are my challenge. And yes, the youngest was adopted from Thailand about 6 years ago. And so that also threw me into the world of adoptive families, which is actually one of the ways that I met Holly and how I got connected to be here. And I have a passion for adoption and especially supporting adoptive and foster families. So if that's part of your story, I would love to talk with you more about that. But today we're going to talk about friendships. We're going to talk about godly, transformed friendships. And I will tell you that I doubt that anything I say today will knock you out of your chair because it's just so deep and profound. It might be some reminders, but I'm hoping that it'll be some timely reminders, maybe some things that we hadn't thought of ever or in a while, or maybe things that you can take and bring back to people in your home church, people in your neighborhood, people in your community. So before we do that, I know we've been doing this, and I want to say, I thought of this first before Sarah took it. Isn't Sarah an amazing MC? She's so good and so funny. But I would like you to, I want to get to know you guys a little bit better, so I am also going to ask you to do the stand-up, sit-down thing. And I will say, if you'd rather just raise your hand, would you guys rather just raise your hands? Okay, you'd rather just raise your hand. So we're going to do the raise your hand thing. That's new. Okay, that's different. Sarah didn't take that from me. We're doing a raise your hand thing. All right, raise your hand if you are 45 or older. 45, awesome. Raise your hand if you are 44 or younger. Pretty good split. Raise your hand. Okay, so here are the two options, chocolate candy or fruity candy. Raise your hand if you would prefer chocolate candy. Raise your hand if you'd prefer fruity candy. Okay. Raise your hand if you slept in a tent last night. Nice. Raise your hand if you slept in a cabin or a trailer, an RV. Good. Or a meadow. A hammock. Ah, you win. That's amazing and brave or something. Raise your hand if you brought earplugs to camp. Yes. Smart. Raise your hand if you prefer another drink over coffee. Okay. Raise your hand anything else other than coffee. Raise your hand if you would prefer coffee. Yes, you're my people. All right. I want to find out a little bit about where you might be from. So, and I'm not going to list every city in the Pacific Northwest, so please don't come at me and say, "You didn't say Madras." Okay, what about anyone from the Eugene metro area, Lane County? Awesome. Anyone further south, than Eugene Metro County. And what about Central Oregon? Anyone from Central Oregon? Nice. What about Salem, Jefferson, Corvallis, Albany? Awesome. What about Portland metro area, Washington County? Awesome. Am I missing anybody? Washington State? Yes, Washington State. Awesome. I'm so glad you guys are here. What else? Oh, Mount Hood area, like East Portland. What? Yes. What about the coast? Coast Range? Yes. It's so fun to have you guys here. And one of my favorite things about this camp, this is my first time at Tadmore ever. I've heard about it for years. Yes, and it's amazing. I love it. It is gorgeous. My husband and my sons have been coming to Tadmore for a few years. In a few weeks, there's a camp called Sons of Thunder for dads and sons. And my seven-year-old for weeks has been saying, I'm so glad you get to go to Women of Thunder. I'm so glad you get to... You're going to go to Women of Lightning and Sons of Thunder. Brilliant. So they have talked me into trying the big swing today, so I might have to try the big swing. If you hear some screaming at the lake, that's probably going to be me. One of the reasons that I love this camp is because of the difference of ages here. Were you in here this morning? We have between 14 and what was it, 83, 85? 86? That's amazing. And it reminds me so much of one of my favorite passages in Scripture that talks about female friendships. And it's in Titus 2. Paul is talking about what a church community should look like. And in Titus 2:3, he says, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. And even without picking out those little things that we are to be teaching and learning, I think what this passage shows us is the value of multi-generational friendships. And I think that's such a powerful thing. So before we even continue, I just want to encourage you to invest in multi-generational friendships. I think each of us can be an older woman and a younger woman. Pretty much there's always going to be somebody ahead of us, either in season of life or in age or in Christian maturity, and someone younger than us in one of those areas that we can invest in and love. So right now, we're going to... By the way, 50 minutes is a long time just for me to talk at you. So I would like you to, if you are not sitting next to someone, I'm going to ask you to be brave and maybe scoot over one seat. So we're just going to have a really quick conversation with a neighbor, okay? This is just a quick icebreaker question. If it makes you want to throw up, then you don't have to do it. But other than that, if you could maybe lean over and find a neighbor, here's the question I'd like you to answer for them. Tell them about one childhood friend of yours and one thing about that friend. They had black hair. They lived down the street. They liked to ride bikes with me. So name one childhood friend and one thing about that friend. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Ready, go. Okay, about 30 more seconds. Okay. I might pick on someone if you don't volunteer, but would anyone like to share, or my favorite is, would anyone like to share what their friend shared? Because then it's a little less intimidating. You can say, well, Judy had a really good answer. Does anyone want to share? Give me the name of a friend and something about them. Yeah. Yes, do it. I love it. Good job, Sheila. Nice job. Sarah is the friend that you're still? And are you still cousins with the other one? Just kidding. Haven't talked to her in a while. Okay. We've all made mistakes. Hopefully we've all grown up. Anyone else have just a memory of a friend from childhood? Yeah. That's awesome. What a fun skill. Okay, can I pick on you because I heard what you said and it was an interesting memory that you said. I thought I heard you describe a body part of your friend, her calves. Is that what you said? I don't know why. That was just, I actually think it's very thoughtful of you to remember that. You know what I mean? When we know those little things about our friends, she's self-conscious about her calves, okay? So don't have her try on boots in front of other people. That's just a thoughtful thing to know about your friend. So good job. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, this one, I'd like for you just to think in your head, and then I'm going to ask for volunteers to come forward. We're going to play a quick game. It'll be painless, I promise, very quick. I want you to think of the difference between friendship boosters and what I would call friendship busters. So to prepare for this class, I went to a very academic source, and that is Facebook. And I created a survey, and I was hoping to get 100 people to respond, and I got 200 people to respond, 200 women to respond about friendships. And one of the questions I asked was, what do you think is the biggest cause for friendships to dissolve? So I want you to think in your head about what you think is the biggest cause for friendships to dissolve. And then I would love to have two people come forward, and we're going to play a miniature game of Family Feud. Did you guys ever do Family Feud? Because I've taken the survey, and I want to see if any of you can guess what the top two things are that cause friendship. So think about it in your head while I gracefully jump off the stage. Would anyone be willing to come forward and answer what they think? Yes, perfect. You two, can you both come down? We'll see if we can get the top two answers. Yes, cheer for them. Thank you. If you will allow me to mix my game show metaphors, come on down. Awesome. What's your name?
Tiana.
Tiana, where are you from?
Silverton.
Nice, Silverton. Beautiful. Spent a lot of time at the Oregon Garden Resorts myself. All right. What's your name?
Missy.
Where are you from, Missy?
Canby.
Canby. Love Canby. All right. So here's the buzzer. The question is, out of 200 people who responded, what do you think is the biggest reason for friendships to dissolve? Yes, Missy. What do you think? Religion. Oh, go ahead. Good. Good guess. Not in the top two, but what do you think?
Misunderstandings.
Misunderstandings. So misunderstandings, betrayal, jealousy, maybe usually an offense of some kind was the number one reason for friendships to dissolve. Good job. I have one more question, so don't go anywhere. People said things like gossip. A gossip, talking about me behind my back, being unkind to me, betrayal, jealousy, being inauthentic. Those were the number one reason. You want to take a guess on the number two? That's okay. I'm with you on religion and politics. But the number two reason for friendships to dissolve was seasons of life, change of circumstances. Friend got married. Friend had a baby. Friend got divorced. Friend moved away. Friend's kids joined preschool, something like that. People said that was the number two reason that friendships tend to dissolve. Okay, one of the other questions I asked was, how would you suggest that a grown-up girl make new friends? So how would you suggest that a grown-up girl make new friends? Let me know if you think you have an answer. Yes.
Go talk to new people and ask them not normal questions, like don't ask them about their weather or what their favorite thing is, but my favorite is would you rather questions, because that's not something that someone usually thinks about. Like it's would you rather ride a Pegasus or a unicorn? And that just immediately jumps into more than people would usually, because they're like, oh, where do you work? What's your favorite music? Those are kind of boring.
Yes, I love that. And that was the number two thing. The number two reason, number two way that people recommended that you make new friends is just to start up a conversation. Be brave, initiate a conversation, talk to someone. Any guesses on the other top two reasons? Top two ways that we can make friends? Anyone out there want to throw out a guess? Yeah. Go to church. What, did you have one? Kids, have kids? Then you immediately make friends? Yeah, in the back. Ooh, yeah. I'm going to come back to that one. Go ahead.
Another one. Carpooling on a retreat.
Oh, carpooling on a retreat. That's brilliant. Did you make some friends this weekend? Carpooling on a retreat. Thank you guys so much. You can have a seat. Can you give them a round of applause? From this survey, 66%, so a large majority of women recommended to other women, if you want to make friends, join a fill in the blank. They recommended the number one thing was join a Bible study. Join a small group. Join a ministry within a church. When you are serving with people, you automatically see them on a regular basis. You bond together when you're serving. And a lot of them even said, find something that you enjoy and join a group of people doing that. Do you enjoy walking? Is Wendy in here? I met a gal who leads a walking group. So join, have a walking group. Maybe you like to quilt. Find a quilting group. Maybe you love murder mysteries. Join a book club. All of those are ways that you will automatically be in close proximity with people who enjoy what you do. But one of the things that we're going to be talking about today is finding good friends and also finding the right kind of friends. So I would love to give you what I think are my top 4 points on how we find new friends. And again, this might not be super relatable to you right now. You might have a great group of friends, but I bet you can take this information back to someone else. And in my role as Women's Ministry Director, I can't tell you how many women are in my office and they say, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. And it's not even the women that I would guess are lonely. They often have people around them. They're often extroverts and outgoing. Or it can be very deceiving. They are online constantly. They're commenting on everyone's Instagram, Facebook, all over the place. They chit-chat with people with their online friends all day long. And they come into my office and say, I'm aching for relationship. And we have to talk about the difference between online friendships and real life friendships. Because that online presence, this technology has led us into a false sense of belief that if I have a lot of likes on my picture, that I have a lot of friends. But those friendships will not fill the longing in our heart for relationship and connection and community. So if you're truly looking for that, here's my tips. Learned the hard way from years of experience. The first one is on the front page of your handout. Be the first. Be the first. And this is what we were just talking about. Be the first to smile. Can you think about how many times you've been next to a woman and she is like Stonewall Jacksoning you? You just smile. It's so attractive and it's a great way just to break the ice. Be the first to smile. Be the first to say hello. That woman next to you in the church coffee counter could be your new best friend, but you'll never know unless you just strike up a conversation with her. Again, when you're in somewhere of a proximity, I can't tell you how many times when I was a young mom, I would be at a park feeling lonely, because as young moms, you are lonely, but you are never alone, right? So I'd be at the park pushing my kid, and there's a woman three swings over pushing her kid, and sometimes we just stood there in silence. And I so regret the times that I didn't just look over and say, how old's your daughter's beautiful, how old is she? Really simple things that we can say to strike up a conversation. Did anyone order coffee from Cedar Creek this morning? It was delicious, but the line was very long. And we stood around, and that would be a great place to just strike up a conversation. Situations like that, we have to be brave. If you are looking for friendship, you got to be the first to initiate. The second thing is, be yourself. Be confident in who you are. You, just as you are enough. If you're pursuing friendships with women who love Jesus, the strongest bond you'll have with them is your shared faith. Anything else will just add flavor. Guys, I confess that I have done this in seasons of my life, especially when I've moved to a new place, started a new job, new community. And one thing that I am very guilty of is acting like I'm more athletic than I am. My husband and a lot of his colleagues are all runners, and I am what I would call a walker. And I don't like to run, but one time I did a 5K, and I bring it up a lot. So when I'm talking to, you know, my husband's colleagues, and they're like, oh yeah, what marathon did you do? Oh yeah. And I was like, well, I did the Kairos 5K, and I have a sticker on my car that says I finished a 5K. And I like to imply that I'm something that I'm not in order to fit in with these new people. And let me tell you, that's not doing anyone any good. They're getting a false representation of who I am. They're missing out on the other really cool parts about me. And they might ask me to run with them, and I really don't want to do that. We need to just be ourselves. I am so convinced that there is a friend match for every woman. Somewhere, there is a friend match for you. No matter how quirky you are, there is a friend match for you. There is another quirky person in this world who wants to be your friend. So be yourself. The third thing is, I can see us like putting out little feelers at the coffee counter or at the park or at work or somewhere else we go frequently. Once you find maybe like a tester, maybe we'll call her a tester, a little friend like, oh, maybe, I think there's some potential there. You have to be vulnerable. We have to be vulnerable. The kind of friendships that we want, that will fill the longing in our heart for connection, are not superficial. They're deep and rich and wonderful. But a lot of times it takes one person to be vulnerable first. And you don't have to start deep. You don't need to say on your first coffee date, let me tell you about my worst sin. That's probably going to scare her away. Start with something like, here's what I'm struggling with. Man, I'm a working mom and it's hard. The balance between life and home is hard. Work and home is what I meant to say, is hard. Maybe you can say, I struggle with anxiety sometimes. It's something that I've battled since I was a kid. Or maybe you can say, my elderly parents are ill, and it's hard to take care of them and take care of my family. I have some health problems that cause me to have some fear about the future. When you throw out the real struggles that you're having, man, it just really is the best way to start a friendship, because I guarantee she's struggling with something. She's struggling with something, and when you drop the act that everything is great and you have it all together, she's going to feel more like, oh, this is a safe place. I don't feel like I need to have it all together for this person. We got to be vulnerable to make real friends. And the fourth thing is, be patient. You got to be patient. It doesn't happen overnight. We live in Salem now, and we moved there 11 years ago. And I would say it was probably 3 to 4 years before I really felt like I had deep friendships. I had lots of friends I could do a play date with, lots of gals we could grab for coffee, but no one that I could call in the middle of the night and say, I need you to pray for me, for probably 3 or 4 years. You gotta be patient. You might have a few starts and stops along the way, But it is so worth it. It's so worth it to pursue those friendships. All right, I would love to move on to another round of Family Feud. Any other brave souls? There's only one question this time. Did I scare you all away now? Anyone? Anyone? Yes, you two right here. Come on down. Can you guys clap for them? Careful. All right, what's your name?
Terry.
Where are you from?
Grass Valley, Oregon.
Ooh, I don't know where that is. Can you?
Very few people know. We have a population of about 100. Between the Dalles and Bend.
All right, between Dalles and Bend. And what's your name?
Robin.
You from the same place?
Yeah, just got there.
Oh, where'd you move from?
Grants Pass.
Okay, I know where that is. All right, so here's the question on the survey. What do you think is the most important characteristic of a true friend? Most important characteristic of a true friend. Give me a buzzer if you have an idea.
Forgiveness.
Ooh, forgiveness. That's a really good one. It wasn't on the top three, but that's a really good one. Any guesses, Terry?
Important characteristic of a true friend. Okay, throwing out something. Not giving you a bad time when you mess up.
Not giving bad time. So maybe we'll call it grace. Grace, forgiveness. We're going to call it grace. That's a good one. We're going to talk about grace in a minute. It wasn't on the top three, though. That's a good one. Anyone else have some guesses? Yeah. Trustworthy. That was number two. Trustworthy. People expanded to say that means they're going to be where they said they're going to be. They're going to do what they said they're going to do, and they're going to keep my stuff in confidence. Okay, let's come over here. Oh, yeah, keep my stuff in confidence. Yeah. Honesty, number one. Just kidding. Number two. My notes are back there. I was dishonest. Don't be my friend. Yes, honesty. It was number two. Honesty or trustworthiness. Sorry, one was two and one was three. They were really close. Yeah, guess. Encourager. Very good one. Wasn't on the list, but I think it's incorporated in all these. Yeah. Loyalty, number one. Loyalty was number one. They're gonna stay my friend through thick and thin. Even when things get hard in my life, these people are gonna stick around. That was the number one thing. Yeah. Listening, such a good one. It was on the list, but it wasn't near the top. Did I say? So I think the top were loyalty, honesty, and trustworthiness. There's one more that made the top list. It was number four. Anybody have a guess? That's in the top two for me, but it wasn't on the top here. Yeah. Humility is close. It was authenticity. Being genuine, being yourself, being real. Kind of what we were just talking about. Not acting like you have it all together. All right. Thank you, ladies. You guys can give them a hand. You don't have to get your Bibles out, but I would love to talk to you about two friends that I bet you've heard of before, and their names are David and Jonathan. Anytime any Jesus person talks about friendship, we often talk about David and Jonathan because they're a great example in the Bible. But I think there's one verse in particular. It's in 1 Samuel, and it's at the bottom of your first sheet on your handout, that I think encapsulates very succinctly what the difference between their friendship and a lot of other friendships, and what we as Christian women should be looking for in our friendships. And I wrote it out for you in several different translations, but I want to read the whole passage for you. Not the whole passage, just a little bit of context. Well, speaking of context, David was a young warrior and Saul was the king. A lot of people, including Yahweh, wanted David to be the future king, and Saul did not like that. So Saul was actively trying to kill David in this passage. And Jonathan is Saul's son. Talk about a friendship buster. If someone that I was friends with had a family member who was actively trying to kill me, I feel like that might be a damper on our friendship. But it was not for David and Jonathan. So after one of the most recent attempts on David's life, Saul is sending warriors and his soldiers to kill David. David finally had to flee into the wilderness. So he was running for his life. The king was trying to kill him. And then we pick up in verse 15. So it's 1 Samuel 23, verse 15. While David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. That's the NIV. ESV says, Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. NASB says, Saul's son arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Saul's son David went to David at Horesh. He told David that God would make him strong. Jonathan went to David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. And friends, I think that all these different translations help us get a full picture between good friendships and godly friendships. Because the world has painted a picture for us of what good friendships are. If you can think of sitcoms or movies that you've seen, and good friendships seem to be the kind where girlfriends sit around and they either eat ice cream or chocolate or coffee or wine, and they're talking about each other and they're saying, oh, he's no good for you. You know, they're doing all that kind of thing, and you were wrong, and you're amazing, and you're wonderful. And it might even be richer and deeper than that. They might say, you're wonderful, and you have the power to blah, blah, blah. They are encouraging. Good friends are encouraging. Godly friends encourage you in the Lord. Godly friends encourage you in the Lord. They do not just sit around and tell how awful everyone else is and how amazing you are. They tell you how amazing your God is and that he is the one that will get you through this. And that is what Jonathan said to David. I want you to be strong in the Lord. You can do this because of God. And that's the difference between those different kinds of friendships. I would love for us to glance at, I kind of compiled from lots of different resources, some 7 traits of true Christian friends. And a little funny logistical thing on the top of the handout. I had this beautiful number 7, but it was in a different font. And so it didn't show up. So there are, if you want to write it in, make your own beautiful 7 traits of true Christian friends. And you can take it and look at it later. We're going to land on a few of them more than others. The first one is sacrificial love. John 15 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus is the finest example of a true Christian friend. Full stop. Friends, I also want to say, if you are longing for connection, if you are longing for friendship, and relationship. Make sure that you are not looking around you for something that only the Lord can fill. Make sure that your relationship with the Lord, this vertical friendship and relationship that we have, is where you are going first to fill the longing in your heart. We are made to connect. We are made to have relationships and live in community, but that will only come and only fill us when we are first filled with our friendship and our relationship with Jesus. He's the ultimate example. And we love like him when we put our friends' needs before our own. Sacrificial love. That means, yes, sometimes I need to drop my plans because my friend needs me. That means sometimes I need to be there for her even when it's inconvenient for me. Sometimes I choose the movie, sometimes she chooses the movie. Things like that. We need to put our friends' needs before our own. The second one, which I think is a big one in our godly friendships, and that is mutuality. Most friendships are based on something like a taste in music or a love of sports, similar life circumstance. Like we said, find a quilter. Find someone who loves books like you do. But as women who desire to grow in the Lord, if we're looking for friendships that will help us toward that goal, it's important that we seek friendships with women who also desire to grow in the Lord. This is where intentionality comes in. Part of the survey that I sent out, I heard back from a military wife and another gal whose husband has a job, and they've moved 5 times in the last 8 years. Different states, they've moved 5 times. And she said, I have to decide what kind of friends I'm looking for, and that helps me know where I'm going to look. You know, that helps her know where she's going to look for friends. And it's a time when we can say, this person is really fun for me, but she's not helping me to grow in the Lord. It's similar to the concept of being equally yoked with a spouse. It's okay to have, we absolutely need to have friendships with people who don't know the Lord. That's part of our mission field. But we have to have friendships with which we share our love of the Lord, people who encourage us to grow in the Lord. I think one of the best signs of this is number three, candor. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Part of friendships between two women is that we desire to be more like Christ. There's a sharpening aspect of those friendships. We like to be with friends because they make us feel good. They give us strength, encouragement, and love. We talk, we cry, we listen. But at times we also have to say difficult things our dearest friend needs to hear. So this is one of the ways that I think that you know you're in you have mutuality with a friend who wants to grow in the Lord, and that is if she is willing to be honest with you and maybe say some hard truths to you, and vice versa. For instance, this is a big one that I see in women is, like I mentioned in a sitcom, but this is real life. Oh, there's a spider web. Someone has an issue with their husband. My husband is being so frustrating. He doesn't lift a finger to help me around the house. That, friends, is an opportunity for us as believers to encourage them in their marriage or to pile onto the husband. Oh, you think that's bad? My husband hasn't done dishes since the Obama administration. You know, oh, that's how bad. Well, my husband, when he dressed the kids and brought them to church and they looked like, you know, they were homeless. And it's very common for women to just start piling on back and forth whose husband is the worst. I've been in a relationship with a friend, and I know we have mutuality because she was able to say, have you been the best wife that you know you could be? Or to say about, let's say a girlfriend's coming to you and saying, Susie is the worst, and she's so annoying, and blah, blah, blah. And for a godly friend to say, is there any part in this conflict that maybe you need to ask forgiveness for? Is there anything that maybe you could have done better? Are you being a Christ-like friend to Susie? Gosh, that's hard to do, but it is so important. Having candor with a friend, a lot of times we as women love to sit in our wound. Do you know what I'm talking about? I heard a phrase in a movie. This woman said, I like my grudges. I keep them like little pets. And I think we do that even as Jesus followers. We keep our wounds and our hurts like little pets, and we don't want to let them go. And we need a godly friend to come to us and remind us that our obedience to the Lord means that we need to walk in forgiveness. And sometimes you might have to be that friend that's speaking with love and truth. And sometimes you might need to be the friend who needs to receive that hard truth in love. So an important part of true Christian friendship is candor. Number four, we talked about a little bit about earlier, I think Terry mentioned it, acceptance. A friend loves at all times, a brother is born for adversity. We discover the best of friendships with brothers and sisters who know and accept our weaknesses and our imperfections. But guess what? That means we have to accept their weaknesses and imperfections. I've seen the pendulum swing on this. I've been around in women's ministry for many years now, and there's this pendulum over here. I'm going to go to Z, Zelda. So Zelda is over here. You have to walk on eggshells around Zelda. You can't say a wrong word. She gets so easily offended. You don't know what version of Zelda is going to walk into the breakfast hall at camp. She might be in a really bad mood, or she might be loving and happy because Zelda gets so offended all the time. Prickly is what I call her. Zelda is so prickly. Don't be a Zelda. Then over here, what's an A name? Is there anyone named Amanda in here? Okay, never mind. Don't say Amanda. Amy? Okay, Amy is over here. Amy says whatever comes to her mind, but as long as she says no offense right before she says it, then she thinks that nobody should be offended. No offense, but that shirt isn't popular anymore. No offense, but your house needs to be cleaned. No offense, but blah, 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 blah. Or she just says whatever comes to her mind, and then she follows it up things. Well, I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. Or this is just my personality. Take me or leave me. Amy needs to control her tongue. Amy needs to work on love and encouragement. May the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be pleasing in his sight. Don't be an Amy, but don't be a Zelda either. True godly friendship is about grace and acceptance, but it's also about monitoring your own tongue and behavior. The fifth thing, a characteristic of true godly friendships, is healthy boundaries. Ooh, this is hard. Healthy boundaries. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. That whole chapter does not just apply to romantic love. It applies to our love as female friends. If you feel smothered, something's wrong. If you feel used and abused, something is wrong. Recognizing what's best for someone and giving that person space are signs of a healthy friendship. We should not let a friend come between us and our spouse. A true Christian friend will wisely avoid intruding and recognize your need to maintain other relationships. Proverbs says, "Let your foot be seldom in your neighbor's house, lest he have his fill of you and hate you." Yikes. Part of healthy boundaries is also knowing when to let go of unhealthy friendships. I think this is hard for us, especially as we want to be more like Christ, because we see a woman in need, and we just want to help her. We just want to love her. And you know what? She does need help, and she does need love. But you need to know when that relationship becomes destructive to you. You got to know when it becomes unhealthy, and you got to be able to give yourself permission to step back. If it's not your paid job or your ministry job to counsel this person, it is okay for you to take a step back. You know what's really interesting? I taught a similar class 3 weeks ago at middle school camp for middle school girls, and I asked them to give me signs of unhealthy friendships, and they are almost exactly the same as the signs of unhealthy friendships for grown-up women. And so we're going to do a quick little thing to get your body moving. Can everyone raise your hand? Just practice raising your hand. There we go. Everyone give me a thumbs up. Now give me a thumbs down. All right. These are going to be what I think are no-brainers, but I want you to just get your hands moving because then it helps you not fall asleep. All right. So I'm going to read a description of a friend, and I want you to tell me unhealthy or healthy. Okay? These came from middle schoolers. I tend to agree with my friend a lot because I don't like the way she reacts if I disagree with her. This person makes me feel good about myself when we're together. I hesitate to tell my friend personal things because I don't think she'll keep them to herself. My friend is happy when good things happen to me. Can I just ask a favor of you all this summer? If you hear from a friend in person or on social media or on Instagram and they say, "I'm going on vacation, I'm going to Disneyland, I'm going to Hawaii," here's what I want you to type, either on your phone or your computer: "I am so happy for you. I am so happy for you. Have a great time." What you do not type is, "Oh, I'm so jealous. I haven't been on vacation in 3 years. Ugh." No, that is not the time, not the place. That is your own stuff. When something good happens for your friend, you need to be happy for her. If you inside, there's an old sitcom where they said, "I'm so happy for her." Well, like maybe like 95% happy, 5% jealous. And then as the conversation continues, they're like, "Let me like 70-30. Well, maybe like 50-50. If that's your deal, if you really can't be happy for that person, that's fine. You need to work on that. She doesn't need to know that. You don't need to tell her that, and you certainly don't need to tell her that in a public forum that you're jealous because you don't get to go on vacation. When something good happens to your friend, "I am so happy for you." All right, let's go back to our thumbs up, thumbs down. You avoid telling this friend if or when you hang out with other people because she might be upset about it. Again, grown-up women, middle school girls. You feel comfortable talking to this friend about the Lord and spiritual things. Your friend often talks about or makes fun of mutual friends when you are together. If you recognize one of these signs, especially if you recognize more than one of these signs in a friendship that you are in, I want to encourage you to be like Queen Elsa and let it go. I'm not going to sing it for you, but you need to be like Elsa. Let it go. It's okay to let go of that friendship. It's probably not best to tell that friend, "Hey, BT dubs, you're unhealthy, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Just slowly just start taking some steps back. You don't have to respond to every text. You don't have to come to every invitation. You don't have to return every call. Just slowly remove yourself from that friend. Little less trust, little less time together, little less conversations that are monopolizing your time. I want to land on one of those things that we just mentioned was a sign of an unhealthy friendship, which is your friend talks about or makes fun of mutual friends when you are together. This leads to number 6 on our list. A trait of godly friendships is respect and edification. Argue your case with your neighbor himself. Do not reveal another secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. Our friendships are based on our communication. The words exchanged between friends are the bread and butter of our relationships. They are what sustains it. The difference between a friendship that uplifts and a friendship that tears down is often found in the words spoken to one another and to others. One of the main ways we show love and respect to our friends is in how we talk about them when they are not around. Friends know when to speak and when to be silent. However, gossiping with your friend can be just as toxic as gossiping about your friend. We must claim and commit to clothing ourselves as Paul instructs us in Colossians 3:12-14. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Friends, I think this is probably the friendship buster that I see the most in church women. In fact, I Googled gossip and church women, and it's such a stereotype that comics came up, lots of different memes came up. One of them was two church ladies sitting in a pew, and she said, if you don't have anything nice to say, come and sit by me. I know, it's funny, but it's like, ouch, kind of funny, not ha-ha funny. There's lots of different things they said. Why were women the first to know about the Lord's resurrection? Because they knew they would tell everyone about it. That was a joke, by the way. That was a joke that I looked up. It's a stereotype because part of it is based in truth. I wish that I could say that I know that women in the church don't gossip like women of the world do, but I think we all know that that's not true. But I think that we can change that. I think that we can commit to clothing ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. But it takes us recognizing, it takes us being brave to stop gossip. I have to tell you, we're going to do a little exercise, but I have the sweetest sister-in-law. She's just this godly girl, and she has the most graceful way of guiding a conversation out of gossip. And often she just either changes the subject, or let's say I'm talking about Zelda, and she'll say, you know what? Zelda's just had a really hard year. And that's my cue that I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be talking about Zelda. Or she'll say, I know, but Zelda has the kindest heart. And I think, oh, I'm doing it again. Friends, I have been a part of gossip. I have been gossiped about. And I bet you have had both of those things as a part of your life too. I have a quick illustration. Can I get 3 volunteers? Anyone? Anyone come in the group of friends? 1, 2, 3. Come on down. All right, I'm going to spread a little gossip to you. Could you guys come in and get in a line along the front of the stage? What's your name?
Charity.
Charity.
Valerie.
Valerie and Luann.
Verity, Charity, Valerie, and Luann. I'm going to come and just, can you, oh, it's got a little thing. I just want to share a little prayer request with you. I don't know if you heard about Zelda, but her marriage is really struggling, so we really need to be praying for her. Could you just, you know, pass on that prayer request a little bit? So could you pass that on to Valerie? See if you can pass some glitter. All right, so she's going to pray for Valerie. Oh, here we go. I think we need a little bit more. You might come back to me and tell me more about, oh, yeah, I'm the Mowins ministry director, of course, so I need to know about it. So they'll tell me about it, and maybe I'll pass it on. And then Valerie, she feels like Luann needs to know about it too. She needs to be prayed about it too. Oh, bless her heart. Bless her heart. Her marriage is struggling. Bless her heart. Well, here's the thing. Did any of you actually get rid of it? What if Zelda finds out about it? Yeah. Here's the thing. Can you guys hold up your hands so they can see? Gossip is like glitter. It seems fun, but it is really messy. It's impossible to clean up, and it's super easy to spread. Gossip is like glitter. We can't clean it up. So good luck. Sorry about the rest of your day. You guys can have a seat. You guys can give them a hand. They are very brave. Gossip spreads quickly. It cannot be cleaned up. If we had time, another example that I have seen before is a tube of toothpaste. Once those words are out, if you squeezed out a tube of toothpaste and then tried to get those words back in, can you get toothpaste back into a tube? No, you cannot. And you cannot get your words back. Once they are out of your mouth, you cannot get them back. You don't know what that person is going to do with those words once you say them. They have to stop at our mouth. The gossip stops with us. The last thing on the last page is selectivity. And I think this is kind of a great way to encompass all the things we've been talking about between a good friend and a godly friend. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This proverb reminds us that everyone cannot and should not be a close friend. Quality trumps quantity when it comes to friendship. Select your friends wisely and stick with them. We should only expect to share complete trust with a few loyal friends. Trusting too easily can lead to ruin, so be careful about putting your confidence in a mere companion. Over time, our true Christian friends will prove their trustworthiness by sticking closer than a brother or sister. I just want to encourage you to make godly friends, be a godly friend, and hang on to the godly friendships that you have. As I said in the beginning, when I read in James, every good and perfect gift is from the Father of lights, I always think of my good female godly friendships because they are a blessing. Thank you guys so much for being here. I hope something has stirred something in you or reminded you or refreshed you, and I'm just going to pray for us as we close, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for friends. I thank you that you've created us to be in community with men and women, but especially women in our church bodies, Lord. I just thank you for that. I pray that you will convict us all, Lord, to be more godly in our friendships. I pray that you will just remind us of how we can be more like you as we act and how we can encourage our friends to be more like you. Lord, I pray that you will bring someone to mind to each of these women when they think about Titus 2. They think about an older woman befriending a younger woman, Lord, whether they are the older or the younger, Lord. Let us have friendships that span generations so that we can learn from one another. We love you. We thank you for this weekend, Lord. We just dedicate every minute of our time here at Tadmore to you. Let it be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great day.